You're listening to Reality Sandwich Radio, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, body, spirit, and our planet, community, and economy. To learn more about the Healthful Living model, go to healthfulliving.org. Reality Sandwich is hosted by Julie Matthews, Certified Nutrition Consultant, and Martin Matthews, Certified Medical Hypnotherapist. Past episodes of Reality Sandwich are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to KPOO San Francisco. You have reached Reality Sandwich. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant.
And I'm Martin Matthews, a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living.
And you are listening to Healthful Living's radio show, Reality Sandwich, a palatable taste of the truth with topics on the mind, body, and our planet. And before we get started for today, I just wanted to give an announcement that's relevant to the show we had last week. Last week had Beverly Yates on speaking about black women and heart health. And coming up in January is the African American Health Summit in Oakland, from January 11th through the 13th, and there's going to be a variety of speakers through that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So check that out. You can find more about them if you go ahead and Google African American Health Summit 2007. It's at the Oakland Marriott Civic Center in Oakland, California.
Julie, our listeners know that on Reality Sandwich, we cover topics of the mind, body, earth, spirit, community, and economy, all six areas of the Healthful Living model. And today we're talking about healthy relationships. And I can't really think of anything, I always say this, I know, but anything more important. But we are constantly in relationship with other human beings, friends, family, partners. Today we're going to be speaking about soulmate or cellmate. We are very fortunate to have on the line the author of a new book, Soulmate or Cellmate. Jackie Woods is on the line with us, and Jackie has been a relationship counselor for 25 years, and this book, Soulmate or Cellmate, A Guide to Healthy Relationships, covers her 25 years of work and provides practical strategies for moving beyond misconceptions about relationship perfection and helping people to find a partner who has the potential to become their soulmate over time. So let's just jump on the line with Jackie, and just before we introduce her, actually, I want to read the preface to the book, which I found really profound, and to set the stage for today's show, if I might.
Great.
Jackie begins as the book is following. As the consciousness of humankind advances, so must the role of relationship. To interact with others the same way you did 5 years ago means that your relationship skills have not been given the opportunity to keep up with an evolving you. In counseling with couples, I have repeatedly witnessed the relationships as being substandard to the quality of individuals involved. The purpose of this book is to give you tools that will help eliminate the gap between your personal awareness and your relationship skills. While many of the examples given refer to couples who are intimately involved, the content applies to all ongoing interactions. It is my belief that relationships are a great tool in helping people realize their full potential. I love that.
I know.
Love that. Welcome to the show, Jackie Woods.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's a delight.
Let's begin at the beginning. Soulmate or cellmate?
What does that mean? What are those terms?
I chose that title because I had so many people come to me in relationships, really wonderful, heartful people that had good intent towards each other, but they would come to me and I really saw that the relationship imprisoned them rather than supported them in being who they fully could be.
Mm.
And so I saw the cellmate image. And I do know that as we bring our soul to relationship, not our old patterns and not our old concepts and neediness and whatever picture we had of what relationship should do for us, when a person could give that up and bring who they really are from a soul level, then you've had the potential for growing a soulmate relationship.
Mm.
And it just is not as difficult as we make it. So I wanted to simplify this for people so that these wonderful people could have wonderful relationships, because you have a lot of wonderful people that have terrible relationships.
Mm.
It mentions here that 50% of first marriages end in separation or divorce within 20 years. And you just mentioned that part about people's focus in relationships is, you know, how can it serve me, right?
Right.
Is that one of the primary disconnects here, you think?
You know, when somebody comes to me and they say, you know, I think I'm ready for a real relationship now, and that happens often, I say, well, tell me, what three heart qualities, and in the book I talk heart qualities a lot because that's the essence of who we are. And, you know, that could be our commitment, our loyalty, our kindness, our compassion, even our organization, our initiative. All of these qualities that we possess are qualities of the heart. If we take away all the programming that says how they should look, then we get to know who we really are. So I say to the person, tell me three qualities that you really are just desperate to bring to another person. Rather than say, okay, what do you want from somebody? And that changes a person's perspective about relationship. When we go into a relationship saying, this is what I want, rather than this is who I am and what I'm bringing, we're starting from a negative credit, you know? we don't have any credibility here in the relationship if we're not bringing anything.
So I can see in a new relationship, you can start it off however you'd like, and you can kind of start a new leaf and bring forward what you want to bring to it. Can that be done in a relationship where it's 5 or 10 years down the road and you've been taking a different approach or a different perspective? Can you change that?
Yes, you can. You both have to be intentional about it, but you can. And it means a lot of soul searching. It means you're going to have to look and see, what have I imposed on this person rather than what have I discovered about this person? We impose a lot. For instance, qualities of the heart can be so different, and yet the place where we find relationship is where we bring the point of touch together around a quality. Let me give an example. My husband and I have very different qualities around organization. He's ADD, and the way he organizes is he has stacks of papers visibly out in the open so he can see them. If they're not visible to him, he forgets about them, and they're not part of his organization. So he has to have stacks. Now, I'm a neatnik, and I want everything put away, and I want everything to have a file folder, and I want everything in order. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have organization. And at first, I thought he didn't because it didn't look like mine. So I had to get my picture out of the way and not impose it on him so that he could actually tell me who he was around organization. And we have to bring those two together so that they meet. Now, it's not easy. So he has his places where he has his stacks. And I have my file folders. And, you know, some people can live and do that together and still be in judgment. But it's that getting rid of that picture of how he needs to be that allows me not only to accept his piece of organization, but to love him in that piece of organization.
I would assume that there are things that get in the way other ways of perceiving things. I know in your book you talk about the four types of communication perceivers. Is that relevant to how people might...
It's very relevant because even in trying to explain to me, he's a mental perceiver and I'm a spiritual perceiver. So let me go over those four for the listeners because you've read the book and they haven't. A mental perceiver is the person that the doing is the subject. You know, what you're going to do, how you do it, all of that is what's important. Not even really how you do it. It's just that you're doing it and you're getting it done. Then there is the emotional perceiver, and that's how they feel about it. No, how do they feel about what you're talking about, or how do they feel about that particular issue, or how do they, if that feeling is not acknowledged, they really can't move on. then there is the mental perceiver who wants all the details. They want the explanation. If you're going to ask something of them, then why are you asking that, and how exactly do you want them to do it and carry it out? And then there is the spiritual perceiver, and this is not just like a religious or that kind of spiritual. This is spiritual in the terms of this is the person that sees the big picture and has possibilities. For instance, I am a spiritual perceiver, and I had to communicate with my husband, who's a physical perceiver, that he has to allow me to go through all the possibilities before I can make a choice. He tended in the beginning to say, I would say, okay, oh, I really like this, because each possibility I really like. And he would just go do it. And I know one day I said, you know, I think I would really like to have a retaining wall there so I could have a flower bed. I came home, he'd built a fortress. I didn't really want a fortress there. But he had to learn to wait until I went through all my possibilities. Mm. For him, I have to say all the time, now, he's saying, you know, I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did this. I have to say, well, do you want me to join you in any of this doing? He just assumes that if he's doing it, that I'm going to join in. I have to find out not only what he wants me to join with him in, how he wants me to join, and he's not going to say those things unless I ask, because he just says, well, let's do this, 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 this.
Hmm. So, very interesting. So I have a question, because you mentioned the Dr. Spock from Star Trek, and I have to say I have a father who is Spock. And not Dr. Spock, but Spock. And so can you talk a little bit more about the receiver? Yes. And just maybe using it as another example, and how it might shape.
I have two granddaughters. One is a mental perceiver, and the other is a physical doer. And Jessica is the mental one. And she was trying to explain this new game to her little sister, Sarah. And she was going into great detail and just explaining every little piece, how it was to be done and why it meant and why you were going to do it. And finally, Sarah said, oh, Jess, just tell me what to do. So that pretty much says it right there.
That's great. And I know that you also mentioned in the book a lot about the different, there's almost, I guess, three entities. There's you, your partner, and the relationship. And can you explain, and I think maybe you tell me, but I'm guessing some people might feel that their ego is lost in a relationship, or they have trouble with a third entity or something. So can you kind of describe that concept to others?
Yes. It's a rather new concept, because the old paradigm has been that, you know, I give up this part of me to you and you give up this part of you to me. That's not the concept I have. The concept I have is you get to choose which qualities. And remember, I'm going back to those heart qualities I talked about in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose which qualities you're going to bring. They get to choose. And the ones that work together, you together then decide on forms of how to bring those into your relationship. I've given several examples, but for instance, I might want to bring nurturing, and my partner might want to bring nurturing also, but he would bring nurturing in the form of cuddling in front of the television. Nurturing for me might be having a really stimulating conversation. So the trick is, how do we bring those two qualities together into relationship? It's not a compromising, it's finding where they touch. So we might agree that as we cuddle, not in front of the television, but as we cuddle, we will have a stimulating conversation. So that everybody gets to bring their quality in the form that fits them well into the relationship. But there will be qualities that don't go into the relationship. And for instance, I may have a bigger piece of nurturing than my friend. So I can't bring all of my nurturing to my friend. I may have to have three friends that I bring nurturing to fulfill the size of nurturing that I have to give.
Hmm.
I'd like to come back to the beginning of relationships for a moment here, and because I really like this orientation of understanding, you know, my space, your space, and then that we're creating something collectively to which we each can contribute. And I'd like to hear you speak a little bit about where do common relationships go wrong from the onset as far as an individual's orientation to the creation of the collective entity between people. And I hearken that back to the kind of the earlier notion of like, well, what am I going to get from this myself, and how does that end up playing out, and how can we help people to maybe shift their initial focus, you know, going into a new relationship perhaps?
You know, people usually have this list of how they want a person to look, how they want to be treated, and that list usually is a list that is a compensation for where they've been wounded. Mm. So if we're bringing solutions to our woundedness without healing our own woundedness, then we're bringing wounds to our relationship rather than strength. And it's important, yes, we're going to have wounds always that we're in process of healing, and it doesn't mean that we can't have the assistance of a partner in that healing, but we need to separate the difference and say, this is a wound I'm bringing, or this is a strength I'm bringing, rather than kind of camouflage our wounds as strengths.
Hmm.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
Yes, absolutely, because it's one of the things I found a few of my friends that have had relationships. A couple in particular, they were married once, and then that didn't work. So they found somebody else fairly quickly, and that person was the opposite, had all of those other qualities probably based on the wounds they had from the first one. But because they hadn't necessarily worked on them, and they figured, well, I guess that this type of person is just bad, I'll have to go with the opposite person and this new person. And then invariably that second relationship never really works out either.
Right, because they're still bringing the wounds.
Right.
It's just in different shapes and forms that they're bringing them, yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
I'd love to just get a sense from you in terms of this. Well, I'm trying to think. Do we want to talk more about the heart energy so people can find out?
I think that's important because we don't think of ourselves in terms of who we are as heart energies. You know, you go to a party and someone will say, well, what do you do? So you talk about what you do. Well, if you're talking about who you are in what you do, that's fine. But if you're just talking about what you do, the person doesn't even know who you are when you have left the conversation. Mm. And perhaps that's because a lot of people don't know who they are. They don't know the qualities that they're expressing. They don't know that while they're doing this driving down new roads, that they're really expressing their quality of adventure. Or while they're having this stimulating conversation, they're engaged in expansion. Or they may not understand that their sense of play is not about playing games. Their sense of play may be that of sort of putting little things together that another person might call creativity. But for them, it's just play. You know, they go around their house and they rearrange things, and that's a form of play for them. Or somebody else, but that might be decorating in a form of creativity. Hmm. So when you know what you're bringing to the form, who you are becomes more important than the form. And it's easier then to give up forms that are annoying to your partner if you see who you are behind them because you can change forms. Mm. For instance, I had a client that wanted to go on a trip to Ireland, and the other partner wanted to go on a trip to France. And they just could not agree, you know. Well, they finally said, well, we'll go one place one year and one place the next. Well, that meant that one person would be happy one year and the other person would be happy the next. It's not too cool for a vacation. So I asked them what energies they really felt that Ireland and France offered to them. What did they resonate there? And for one person, it was that continuity of history that they would get. And for the other person, it was that they had always wanted to explore their sense of family background. When they came from Ireland, they wanted to explore family. So when we got to the energies, they actually found that they could come together on a form and a place to go that was neither of those places, but that held both of those qualities for them.
Mm-hmm.
They saved some money, too. They didn't go out of the country. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, about shifting in order to serve the relationship, and something that you just said just triggered me back to this notion I was reading in the book, about childhood programming and about the influence of our observation of our parents' relationships influencing what we bring to our current relationship or the development of a relationship and being aware of those patterns. Can you speak a little bit about the effect of and some childhood programming?
Yes. Our childhood programming has a huge effect, but what we take into our unconscious from it just sort of soaks in like a sponge when we're very young. So that I've seen, for instance, very powerful, I'll say a woman, it could be a man too, but I've seen a very powerful woman. She'll go into a relationship, and her programming, and they can have even lived together for years, but the minute they get married, then her programming around marriage comes up, and she changes. She changes. She changes, and she gives up her power. She becomes this huge caretaker. Now, not that that has to happen, but I'm saying that as an example of a person who saw that role modeled in their parents when they were growing up. Mm. It's unless they have acknowledged that that's programming in there and work to change that programming, then it's going to come up. For instance, when I had my first child, I'm not at all like my mother, and I had worked very hard on my programming around my mother, but I hadn't touched the area of being a parent yet because I hadn't had a child. So I had a child. Oh, my gosh. I would hear my mother's voice coming out and be horrified. You know, it's like, oh, my, that's not my words. I don't even believe that. And they would be coming out of my mouth. So I had to then look at that programming, and as it comes up, you have to look at it. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to wipe all that clean. As it has the opportunity to come out, you get the chance to change it. And that happens when we get into an intimate relationship. The programming that we had, that we took in our growing up of how our parents related to us or how we related to them or how we saw them relate. Anyway, the relationship programming was put in place. And when we get into a relationship, then we have the opportunity to grow through that and change it. If we don't see that as an opportunity, then it will get in the way and just cause all kinds of problems.
Well, I could definitely speak to that. And from my own experience in my relationship, through my observation and work together with Julie in noticing things that come out of me by way of a pattern of our interaction that is not of my creation, but something I picked up from observing my parents.
Yes.
It could be some method of reaction or some circumstantial reaction that my father would do to my mother to push her buttons.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And something that irked her and, you know, just whatever it was. And Julie and I will be in a situation, something will happen, and I'll find that I'll say something or do something in a way that is completely modeled after what I picked up
mm-hmm.
just because the situation is vibrationally similar to something I've experienced
right.
as a child.
And has nothing to do with who you are.
Has nothing to do with the situation and clearly has nothing to do with my feelings about Julie in that moment.
Uh-huh.
And I just get annoyed at myself when I'm doing it because it's autopilot and it's completely antithetical to my true feelings,
mm-hmm.
but it just happens. And it's in those moments that I can stop for a minute and just go, my goodness, I can just, you know, imagine how many of these things run on autopilot, you know, for me, and I'm, you know, I'm paying attention to it and working on it, but just really for all of us in relationship, whether it's with a significant other or, you know, a boss, a colleague, a friend, or whatever, that have nothing to do with the current relationship that we're in and nurturing and developing, but it's being triggered by something else in the past that's being brought into now and interfering with now.
Yes, it's so important that we be aware of that. It does help, like if you're taking a trip with Julie or you're going to a restaurant to eat or you're sitting in front of the television or you're at the dinner table, wherever you are, if you're intentional about the quality of energy, the heart energy that you are in at that time, it helps you when that programming comes up to be more alert to it and to not even go there sometimes. It just comes up as an urge rather than actually makes its way into the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you're more intentional about what heart energy you're bringing in each moment.
And I think if you're aware that if the other person that's receiving it is aware that the other person is probably a reaction, because now, you know, this happens with everybody and it happens with us. And so then in the moment, it'll dawn on me, oh, you're projecting that I'm pulling a mother maneuver when I'm not doing that at all. And then if I can just calmly say that, then he usually calmly says, oh, boy, you're right. So I think if both people can not be as reactive but be more aware and noticing and not being so judgmental but just kind of being
curious,
then I think a lot of it is a lot of it avoids the fight stage.
Yes, it definitely does. It's being more intentional that you keep your relationship growing. That's what I talked about in the piece that he read, that you the relationship has to grow just as you as individuals grow, or you put all these old patterns into your relationship, you dump them in there, and it just becomes a garbage heap after a while.
Well, for those people that are just tuning in, you are listening to KPOO San Francisco, 89.5 FM. You are tuned into Reality Sandwich, and we are speaking with Jackie Woods on Soulmate or Cellmate. And you can listen to any of these past shows, including this one, at realitysandwichradio.com. So I wanted to just ask you another question here in terms of, you know, you were talking about people making a list of all the qualities they want. Do people need to sort of destroy this perfect partner fantasy, or do they just keep searching until they find the person that meets all of those exact qualities?
Well, they have to pretty much give it up. If you can look at the qualities that you want to bring, you can then define what you feel will be complementary to qualities that you want to receive. For instance, I had three qualities in mind. You know, I worked with spirit guides my whole life, and I had been married once, and I said, I've been there, done that, I don't want to do that again, and I raised my sons by myself, and I had no intent of ever marrying again. But I said to the powers that be, if it will serve me in my life script and to be for the good of the whole, for me to have a partner, I would be willing, but I'm not looking. But I would like three qualities. And these are three qualities that I feel that I, not that I need, but that I resonate and that are an important role in my life. And that would be growth, because I'm all about growth. My whole life has been that. And nurturing, because I do it all day long. I have a big piece of that, and I would like to have that resonated back to me in a relationship. And the other quality would be play. I have a big piece of play, but my work is very serious, so I don't always play in my work. I bring it more now than I used to. And so I had these three qualities that I said, okay, this is my definition. This is not my list of how I want them to look, how old I want them to be, what kind of income I want them to have. I didn't go to all those places that people normally go. Or how many hobbies do we want to have in common, or do they like to drive this kind of car? You know, all that didn't care. I didn't care about that. That didn't matter. So I had these three qualities. Now, I believe in symbolism. So I had these three qualities. I had defined it within myself and with the universe. So I met this person, and while I was having a picnic lunch with this person next to a lake, the person that's now my husband, out of the water walks a mother duck and all of her little babies in single file behind her, right up to the feet. Our feet were sitting on a blanket eating our picnic, up to our feet, and turns around and walks back and gets in the water. Now, I teach symbolism. So this symbol, to me, symbolized growth, the mother and the babies. I noticed it, but I didn't say anything because I really wasn't wanting a relationship, and this person was trying to talk me into being in a relationship with them, and I wasn't really interested. So then out of nowhere come two little chipmunks and play at our feet, just play. And we're not, I mean, we're talking, eating, we're not being totally quiet, and they play. And I thought, ooh, ooh, that's symbol number two. But I still didn't say anything. So then, something that I didn't even know could happen, a snake comes out of the water and stands on its tail with a fish in its mouth and eats a fish in front of us. Now, that's nurturing to me. I'm a Cancer, so, you know, food's real nurturing. And at that point, this person says, do you think we should pay attention to these symbols? I said, the answer is yes, I'll be in a relationship with you. And I knew that that person not only was going to be a relationship, but would be a partner for me.
Wow.
Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about these heart energies, and if for people that don't have a copy of the book, I just thought I'd read a couple from the back, and then maybe you can kind of give a general definition so people can get a sense. Abundance, acceptance, adventure, celebration, forgiveness, freedom, health, honesty, kindness, loyalty, power, strength, synergy, transformation, trust, willingness, endurance. So those are some of the heart energy qualities. Is there a general definition you can give for people that might be putting this list together of what would constitute a heart energy?
Yes. A heart energy is a quality that you, not that you've been taught about. We have qualities that we've been taught, but they're not necessarily heart qualities. They're learned qualities. But a heart quality is something that you feel all the way through you. You feel how it is physically in your body. You feel how it is emotionally. You have a sense of it mentally. It permeates the totality of you. And you, as you get to know it, it may not even resemble anything like the programming you received around that quality. For instance, you may have been taught about order, like I mentioned earlier, that you had to pick up your room, and maybe order to you was you threw everything in the closet and that you got it out of sight, but that was your learned order. Order for you, as you get to know it, may be very different than that. It order to you may be a progression of finding things and putting them in certain places. You know, it could look a million different ways, but it's something that you have claimed as you, not something that has been taught to you.
Okay. And talk about, in terms of growth, you know, one of the things I joke about is, boy, I lucked out and picked a good one, because you don't really know. Even it was 2 years into our relationship when we got married, but that's only 2 years out of, you know, 40, 50 years you're going to be together, and you're going to both grow, and hopefully you're going to grow somewhat in the same direction. And so in terms of that, does growth automatically keep up with the partner's individual growth, or how do you navigate that?
You have to be intentional about attending to the growth of your relationship. Growth is a big subject these days, and people are finding ways to grow. I mean, they're going to gyms, and they're growing healthy, and they're eating better, and then they're growing spiritually, and they're doing personal growth classes, and they're working with people like you, and they're getting rid of all of their programming, and people like me, and people are becoming more aware of their need to find who they are and to bring that fully into the world. That's growth. They're intentional about it. We have to do the same things that we do individually to grow to a relationship. We have to pay attention to its physical health. We have to pay attention to its emotional well-being. We have to pay attention to the definitions that fit who that relationship is. Those definitions have to fit, and then they have to be redefined on a regular basis as that relationship grows. It is no different than individual growth, but it requires two people attending to it instead of one.
Ah, so since you can't possibly know the ways that you and your partner are going to grow, is the more important thing a mutual intention of growing and supporting through growth, or
that you make a commitment to attend? I'm saying intend to attend to your growth. That you make that commitment part of your marriage vow. That you will commit individually to work together to keep your relationship healthy, growing, and alive. And that means changing forms. What we tend to do so often is we get together and certain forms fall in place that really work for us. You know, well, you know, we play together well. We play tennis together well, or we like to read the same books and discuss them, or you know, we find forms that really work. Well, as you grow in the qualities of who you are, those forms may not work so well anymore. So you have to be willing to say, I am now this person as of this quality has changed, and I need a new form. Let's work together to find a form that fits.
I've always thought of relationships in that way, and similar to how you describe in the book. There's an I, there's a you, and then there's this we, and that as long as both people are equally committed to the lifelong co-creation of that we, then we can maintain health. Because, I mean, I've got to take care of me and my own growth, and my partner is working on her own growth, but together we're developing this we, which then serves each of us individually. And when I hear of relationships or talk with people about, you know, challenges that are going on, so often it's that someone somehow disconnected from the we and became perhaps more involved in just, you know, themselves, and the we, you know, was left out there to, you know, to falter in some way. So I would love to hear you speak a little bit about that notion of the three different entities, and as it pertains to new relationships. I'd like to speak a little bit to the people that are listening that are, you know, either, you know, starting a new relationship and dealing with the issues that come up in initial relationships about how am I supposed to be? I'm afraid that if I really show myself, then the other person's going to see who I am, and that's not going to be okay. I mean, all that stuff that comes up at the beginning.
Okay.
How do we
talk about that?
How do we help ourselves?
I'm going to put a plug in, because I have had so many people, since this book has come out, to ask me for more tools in how to start a relationship and how what that means, that I have on my website a course on relationships. They can take it over the internet. So that's JackieWoods.org if somebody wants to check that out. That's JackieWoods.org. But I wanted to put that in because a lot of people said that has helped them in this beginning stage. So the beginning stage, you start with, okay, you need to know who they are behind the forms that you do together that bring a lot of fun. You need to know who they are behind the patterns you bring to each other that seem to be creating a conflict. You need to know who they are rather than who they are telling you they are, or who the role they are playing out. And at first, it's hard to know the difference. I mean, after you live with someone a long time, you know, okay, they're in that role again of acting like they know it all when I know they don't. You know? But at first, you believe what the person's saying to you. And you don't want to be standing back and being so judgmental and critical that you don't even give them a chance. But how do you discern the difference between what they're saying and what role they're acting out? Like they're acting like they're having a grand time, or that they're with you, and the play seems to be so much fun and alive, or they may be very serious in listening to you and very attentive and seem to be sharing. How do you tell? Well, one of the things that I mention in the book is that you look at their past history, who they have been rather than who they're trying to present right now. You listen to them when they say how they were in their last relationships. If they're going to make it sound like that other person was the witch or the troll in the relationship, but here behind all of that, who were they being? So that you begin to see them more clearly, other than finding out 2 years later that, oh my gosh, that bad relationship they talked about wasn't all the other person. They brought some bad patterns. Well, you don't throw them out just because they have the bad patterns. You begin to look at those patterns, talk about them, and see if they're willing to change them.
Mm-hmm. Do people relate differently, besides, of course, the obvious, in intimate relationships versus friendships?
They do. They bring the same qualities, but they really shouldn't relate that differently, but they do if they have a label on it, okay? Friendship means this to me. Intimate relationship means this to me. They really should be the same person any place they go. And that goes back to that beginning thing that Martin was talking about. If you can look at how they are in other relationships that are just friendships, what do they bring there? How much do they integrate who they are with the other person, or how selfish are they? You begin to look at the totality of their life rather than just how fun is it and how exciting is it and how new is it when we're together. Mm-hmm. Ask to be with them when they're with their friends. Be included. See how they interact with friends. What do friends say about them? Not that you're going to take all of that as gospel truth, but you're going to get a big picture. So that you go into the relationship with more pieces about who you're dealing with rather than just your little fantasy that they have fed to you.
Mm-hmm. What about evolving relationships over time? I work a lot with parents with children on the autistic spectrum, and the stress involved is so enormous that a lot of couples end up getting divorced, which you can imagine adds more stress now that they're single parents dealing with this.
Yeah.
What about when big life stresses come up, whatever they may be? How can we support ourselves in our relationship through that?
Oftentimes when we get into a life stress, our worst programmed patterns come out. We should have the best of us come out in those times, and sometimes that does happen where it draws people's strengths, but sometimes it draws our weaknesses. And it requires a lot of patience on the other person, on the partner's part, to see that this is really a stress drawing this out, and it's an opportunity to love this wounded part and to support this wounded part in growing, rather than just saying, oh, you have turned into a monster I can't stand. But to see that the stress is really drawing out something that's there, and we all have bad parts, and to help the person to bring out their strengths. Now, usually that takes a counselor to do that. The couples, if they're in the stress, both of them in stress, they can't do that for each other. But if a counselor can get to them and to bring out their to let the stress parts that are bringing out the bad parts be used as growth opportunities and opportunities to support each other, and at the same time say, okay, to this weakness, say the person is yelling a lot and being very emotionally reactive, to this weak pattern that we have, what strengths can we bring? So that when they're in that kind of screaming, reactive place, yes, you may have to walk away from it and not stand there and be abused by it, but when you come back, say, what was it that you really needed here? What did you need here? Did you need to have understanding? Did you need to have patience? Did you need to have more honor? Did you need to have more nurturing? What quality could you have used instead of this old pattern?
Jackie. Here we go. Sorry. You know, we have about 10 minutes left. I would love for you to cover, because relationships tend to have some challenges along the way, and you have a wonderful chapter here on eliminating the dark side of relationship. So I would love for you to cover a few things that happened there, and the book, the chapter starts out with that common notion of, you know, the honeymoon period ends, and, you know, we've stopped being that glossy picture of ourselves that we would like to sell into a relationship, and then reality shows up, and, you know, all kinds of other reality components, you know, emerge into a relationship. So can you speak a little bit about eliminating those dark signs?
Yes. Do you want to pick any one of those particular topics that I've listed there, and we'll talk about that?
Well, you know, the two things that jump out at me here, they're not in my relationship. I just want to cover that because Julie and I work on this a lot. But this things that I hear so often that just upset me when I do hear them are people treating each other as possessions and this notion of there ever being the I hate you kind of component. I don't – how do those –
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
The I hate yous come when you have not separated out the patterns that are non-heartful from the heartful patterns. That's why I go back over and over and over again to get couples to see, okay, this pattern has no heart behind it. It's something I just picked up from my family or from society or from my past relationship, but it's not me. Trying to sort out the me. When I can get a person to do that, then it's not how do I look. You know, a lot of times as people get older, they go through the, oh my gosh, they're not going to find me attractive and love, therefore they're not going to love me anymore. Finding that beauty is a quality, not a look, it's a quality. And that quality shines through the eyes, through the smile. That quality comes through the words, through the actions. That quality of beauty is how you decorate your room, how you make your bed. It's a quality you begin to observe in people. So what happens when the I hate yous is that usually the qualities have never even been found sometimes, and sometimes they've gotten lost, and all you're seeing are the glaring patterns that are different than your patterns that you don't like. Or sometimes they are your patterns that you don't like that you're seeing mirrored in them. So it's a matter of getting back to let me give another example because it gets too theoretical if I don't. I had a couple come in and the man had gotten a job that was demanding so much of his time. And the woman was feeling very unattended to and very unloved. And he was spending long hours, and he said, well, I'm doing this for us. We're going to build a new house, and I'm doing this for us. She should appreciate this. Well, he was saying, you should be bringing the quality of appreciation. Well, that wasn't the need she had at that time. The need she had was to have that sense of family that seemed to be broken up. He was never there with the children. The family seemed to be just falling apart. She wanted the sense of family. He was wanting the sense of appreciation from her, that quality of appreciation. So I talked to them and I said, all right, how can you bring family to her and how can you bring appreciation to him? Not in the ways that you're saying he has to spend so much time and he's saying she needs to tell me all the time how much she appreciates the money I'm making, not in the forms that they were demanding, but how could they bring those qualities to each other so that they came together in relationship with the qualities each person was wanting, but in the form that each person could bring it. So that gave them some freedom to be who they were rather than just to fit into the form that the other person was demanding and being upset about. And they were beginning to just hate each other.
A lot of what you're talking about here to me seems like basic communication, right? It's all of these ways of saying what energies am I bringing, what qualities, what things are important, all of those pieces. And that requires some communication between the two parties. And I know that for myself, sometimes a simple question like, like you said earlier, what did I really want from that experience, or what do I really need in this moment? And if I can stop and either ask that question of myself or ask what may be driving the partner's relation or the partner's reaction right now, then a simple question or two of what do they need, what do I need, those kinds of things can really be helpful in terms of creating a forum for communication. So is there anything that people can do to help improve that communication capability?
Well, yes, there's a lot of things, but I know I sound like a broken record, but if we can make the communication about the quality rather than the problem, if we start with the quality that the person is wanting or is bringing or wanting to have brought as the subject, then the problem just simply becomes the details to work out. Hmm. It's where we start in communication. Yes, we do need to understand the mode that the other person talks in, so that we can make sure we're understood in bringing what we're bringing. But we have to find that we are both in agreement that the subject is the heart quality. That is the essence of the person. That is the soul of the person. So if you're going to have a soulmate relationship instead of a cellmate relationship, you have to have that beginning point.
I love that. I believe that... I don't know that I necessarily agree that there's one soulmate out there for each of us to find. I mean, that seems like a, you know, impossible search. But a soulmate relationship, a heart connection relationship, is absolutely something that I've always felt is possible in my life. And I feel that each and every one of us can achieve that. Granted, we are allowing ourselves to focus on those feelings and on achieving that heart quality that you speak of. And it's a matter of openness. It's a matter of learning and working on our own growth and development. And I absolutely get by going through the book, it resonates with me so strongly, that that these qualities can be developed in each of us such that we can then bring the most of ourselves into our relationships in order to truly be in pursuit and to attain a soulmate relationship with that other wonderful person that should share our lives.
Everyone can have one. You can develop one. And if you're in process of developing a soulmate relationship, then you will be able to grow more quickly than you will by yourself.
Mm.
Because that person is going to challenge you on when you're just bringing an empty pattern and saying, well, now, who are you really behind that pattern?
We can attest to that, babe.
Have you all done this? I think that it really helps if a person can then start applying whatever they learn in their partnership relationship to all relationships so that they begin to use these tools in other places, then they bring them back to the relationship and they seem more comfortable. Or you can get comfortable in the relationship and take them out. But when you're having a hard, stressful time, like you were talking about a minute ago, if you can practice some of these tools that we're talking about today and that are in the book, if you can practice those with friends where maybe the pressure isn't being brought up at that time, then it's easier to bring those back and remember them and to use them more freely as healthy tools in a stressful relationship where you're with your partner.
Good point.
And listeners can pick up some of those tools, pick up the book, go to Jackie's website at jackiewoods.org. The book is Soulmate or Cellmate, A Guide to Healthy Relationships. I want to thank you so much for being on the line with us and hanging out with us today at Reality Sandwich, Jackie. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
This show and all past shows of Reality Sandwich can be downloaded for free at realitysandwichradio.com. You've been listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. Reality Sandwich is on every Thursday at noon. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living.
And I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant with Healthful Living. And you can find out more about our services at healthfulliving.org. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned every Thursday at noon and go to Reality Sandwich Radio. Thanks for listening.
We'll be back next week.
Make sure she cry on my shoulders, eh? Hear me good, diamond, don't.